Praise God. Well, we've been in a series for a few weeks called Guard Your Heart. And let's go ahead and turn over to Proverbs 4, 20 and look at that. This is our text, and then we look at it in a different translation too. But Proverbs 4, 20, of course, it's on your sheet and it's on the screen too. It's good to open your Bible, though, and to look at the pages. Proverbs 4:20. It says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Notice in verse 26 it says, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established." Be established. We want to have our ways be established. That means strong and secure. You don't want to be, like it says in Ephesians, be tossed around with every wind of doctrine. You know, a lot of people are. A lot of Christianity is moved around. You know, they watch things, listen to this person, that person, and they believe this thing one day, and then they believe that thing another day, and just really up and down and all over the place. That's not God's will for our lives. You know, God doesn't change all the time. The Bible says He never changes. And if he had an idea for your life yesterday, a plan for your life, it didn't just completely do a 180 today. It's not different today. And God doesn't talk as much as some people think He does. He doesn't tell you something different every day. He doesn't do that. He'll tell you to do something, and some people get tired of doing it, and then they're looking for something else. But he's not talking. I mean, just look in the Word. Yes, He speaks to your heart, but He doesn't zigzag you all over the place. Well, do this, do that, and go in different. No, He's going to tell you to do something, and then He'll help you to change when you need to change. But you're supposed to be, and I'm supposed to be established, walking day to day, you knowing what you're doing, and you're going to keep going. And if God needs to tweak, and He will over time, He's going to turn you. And of course, we're learning and growing in Him, and you're growing up. But that doesn't mean you're going over here, and then, oh, this is the Lord today, and we're going over here, and then next week, ooh, God's doing something. No, He doesn't. A lot of that's just human, that's flesh, that's emotion. I feel like God. I feel like I want to do this. And then a lot of people attack, "The Lord told me," onto it. That's dangerous. God, don't do that. Don't say God told you to do something unless you know it's the Lord. You say, I believe, you know, I'm led to do this. I believe I'm going to do this. You don't have to throw God's name onto everything. In fact, it's dangerous to do that, especially when you don't know it's Him and you start attaching God's name to something, because then it makes it real hard to back out. "Well, God told me to do this." And then you realize He didn't. What are you going to say? "God's not telling me to do that now?" Especially if you say it to, like, your spouse. "God's telling us to do that." What's your spouse going to do? Seriously. If it's God telling us to do something, who am I to say we shouldn't do it? You just set it up for an argument. It's set up for a standoff right there. Now we ought to say, you know, we maybe, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? You know, Brother Hagin tells a story. He was, there was a church that he had left, and he was feeling like he should go back there, and he didn't want to go back there. And, you know, for some time, just wouldn't go away. So he was in the kitchen, and his wife Aretha was washing dishes or something there, and he just said, "Is God speaking to you anything about this church, this thing?" "No." "Has God, have you thought about," and she was like, no, I haven't, I don't think there's anything. And he said, so have you thought about going back there? And she said, oh, I thought that was just me. But she, God was talking to her. But she, they were learning, and she was learning, and God was speaking. But he didn't say, honey, I believe. I mean, he was just seeing. Are you getting the same thing I'm getting? Because you know, if you're married to somebody, God's not going to lead you in two different directions. And it's really foolish to try to go in a direction if your spouse isn't hooked up with you. You don't want to take somebody kicking and screaming in a direction. If your spouse is not hooked up with you, men, if your spouse is not hooked up with you and you think you're going to tell your wife that she needs to go in a certain direction and she's not in agreement, I would seriously stop and go very slowly. Because number one, you could be missing it. Because the Spirit of God will speak through your spouse, speak through your wife. Guys, you could be missing it. Number two, if you are supposed to go there and she doesn't want to go, you're going to have a rough ride. So you might as well just sit tight until you get on the right track and you're both hooked together and then you start moving. Amen. But we're supposed to be established, not just jerking around everywhere. That's not God. Anyway, that's all free. We'll charge you extra for that. Proverbs 4:20 in the New Living Translation on your sheet. Can we put that up? God is solid. He's solid. And we're his children. We ought to be solid. Keep giving me looks, Brianna. Proverbs 4:20. New Living Translation says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Well, we could just stop right there. If we just pay attention to what God is saying, whoo, solve a lot of problems right there. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, this is why we focused on this part. Entitled this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Your heart, the real you, your spirit man, what you let in is so important. You let junk in, it can affect where you end up. So it is not a small thing what we let in. And we need to be diligent here. It's not a light thing. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Verse 24, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on a safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Now, look on your sheet there, 2 Corinthians 11. We read this verse in conjunction here. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. 2 Corinthians 11, 1. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he who comes preaches if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Now, verse 3 says, as the serpent deceived Eve in his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity. He said, I fear lest somehow this would happen, that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And we spent some time here, and we'll go further in this and talk about some other aspects, there is just a simplicity that is in God, in Christ, that we should walk as Christians. And that just has a bad connotation a lot of times in our day and age. But being simple can be a good thing, can mean just being pure, being undefiled, being straight in something. And here, Paul is saying, I fear lest you get corrupted from that simplicity. See, Satan would have us get out and to distract us with things. We don't have a lot of time on this earth, and we don't have time to waste on getting sidetracked. You can get sidetracked for a year, sidetracked for 3 years. You're going real well, and then, yeah, you like we were talking about, you get blown by a wind of doctrine that sidetracks you for 7 years. And then you come back, and you realize that was wrong. Well, 7 years later, and now you're going, we don't want to do that. So we need to guard our heart. And we got to beware of anything that tries to get overly complicated and takes us away from just the simplicity of believing God. You know, we read some of this. Simplicity means free from guile, innocent, sheer, unmixed. Means straight. Not complicated. God is amazingly intelligent, but at the same time, the things of God are pretty simple. It's just that a lot of times we complicate them because we're making excuses, or we're trying to work around, or we're trying to make way for things that aren't of God. And so it gets complicated when you do that. But we're not supposed to be complicated. It's not supposed to be real hard. We touched on that last time. Life is not supposed to be so difficult. And people say, well, life's so complex right today. Why? Why is it so quote-unquote complex? Did God make it complex? Look at the Garden of Eden. Was it really hard what God set out? You have two people created with all their need met. They walk with God daily. They have everything they can need. They have perfect environment, perfect temperature. Just don't mess with this stuff over here. And what did they do? Going to mess with the stuff God said don't mess with. Was it that hard? It wasn't that hard. And now today, centuries later, life is so hard and complicated. Boy, it's a complicated age. Why? Why is it? Are people really that different? Are they? No, they're not. People are the same as they've always been. Yeah, we're dealing with some more technology. Why should that be so complicated? You know, if people were godly in general and just using things the way and submitting everything to God, it's not complicated. The core is not complicated. Well, you know, family situations are just so complicated now. Why? What's changed? It hasn't changed. People have made decisions that have, then they deal with the results of sin. But now it's complicated. Well, it's still not complicated. We just get back to the Word and start going forward, and the dust clears, the confusion clears. But Satan would like you to think it's complicated. It's hard. That's one of when you get it real hard to understand. Satan thrives in that, and he messes with people's minds in that. And people, and I've seen this, talk to people, marriages, where it's real straightforward. God is pretty straightforward on marriage. It's not, I understand I'm married, I understand you have, it's work, but it's not, the concept is not hard. Walk in love with the other person, put them first. If both people, it's this simple, if both people are trying to outdo the other person in love, trying to outdo the other person, try to outlove the other person. You're trying to make it so that you're doing more for the other person than they're doing for you. You try to put their needs ahead of you. If you're both doing that, how can you get in arguments and fights and divorce? You want something and I want something else. Well, I'm going to put you first. And they're trying to, no, I want to put you first. I want to make sure you're happy, but I want to make sure you're happy. Well, that's just greasing the skids. But you know what? This modern age has made it like, well, I have rights and I have needs. Well, and they're not meeting my needs. And they, if they start doing this, then maybe I'll think about, well, that's that you just divided. Now you, instead of focusing on love another person and doing what God said, you're focusing on yourself and being selfish. And now, boy, it's complicated. It's hard. You don't understand. This is a complicated relationship. And you give somebody the word. Now it's more complicated. No, it's really not complicated. Are we doing what the Bible said? Because when we do what the Bible said, it starts clearing up real quick. It's not complicated. But Satan tries to get in there, boy, it's really complicated. Whoa, this takes a really complicated solution. It's a really complex problem. At the heart of it, people are just being squirrely. If they listen to God, if we'll listen to God, stuff clears up pretty quick. But you know what? Our flesh doesn't always want to hear that. It wants it to be complicated because that means maybe I don't have to do something that I don't want to do. You know, if I can get out of it, then... That sounds better to me, and Satan knows that. Let's keep going. Look on your sheet there. We'll review some of these scriptures. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." He's saying you focus on God, you make Him first, and... you talk about them, you talk about the things of God, you make those first place. Well, if we're doing that, it's real hard for all these other things to get in. It's like a barrier. It keeps this other stuff from getting in. Jesus said in Mark 12, verse 28, he was asked, go ahead and look on your sheet, because we've gone over some of these things, we'll just go through them. A little bit faster. Mark 12, 28 says, "Then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." So if we would just do these things, how many problems could be solved by people just doing this? Oh, I dare to say, any kind of relational issues are going to be solved here. But that's not the world we live in. But we're responsible for us. We're responsible for what we do, and we're talking about our lives. And yes, there are people that reject Him and that won't do this. Well, let's just make sure we're doing what the Bible says and go from there. But we have to guard that we're not letting anything else get in front of Him. Now, let's look at, you know, we went through this, and we're going to get to a few more scriptures, but let's look at Deuteronomy 12. We went through this, and then we'll go forward. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28, it says, "Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourselves that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How do these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise.' You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which He hates they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." Now read verse 29 in the New Living Translation, Deuteronomy 12, 29 in the New Living Translation. It says, "When the Lord your God goes ahead of you and destroys the nations and you drive them out and live in their land, do not fall into the trap of following their customs and worshiping their gods. Do not inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example. You must not worship the Lord your God that the way other nations worship their gods, for they perform for their gods every detestable act that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their gods. And we talked about this in a certain vein, that the Bible clearly says here, don't mess with other religions. Don't mess with other people, the way people have worshiped. Don't look at it. Don't look into it. Unless you are very specifically, it's an area it's part of your calling basically to do so. People think they have to go and look into all these things so that they're well versed and they can quote unquote minister to people. It's a trap. Most of the time, that's not necessary. Like I said, now if you're called to a nation and you're going to be there, well, you probably should know something about their mentality. And I'm not saying it as a legalistic thing. Don't look into anything, but we got to be led on these things. This is not innocent, is my point. This is not, when you look and say, well, I'll just look into how this is done and other beliefs. If you know and God's spoken to you about a certain way, you know you've seen certain things from the Bible, then don't look into what other people have to say about it. Even within Christianity, you're setting yourself up. And we talked about this in detail, that this very thing I'm saying in our day and age, even what the Word of God says here would be called closed-minded. Very much. This mentality that people have in our day and age is very much, well, you have to be open-minded. It's really dangerous because everybody should be open. Open to what? Because there is very much we just all have to be on the same page. So what you're saying is that there isn't one God. And there's not one way to God. Well, we had to take and consider all religions. We got to respect them. God didn't respect them. He's saying, don't look at them. They're not the way. But politically correct would tell you, well, you got to have respect. No, you don't. I'm not saying be rude. But this mentality is in direct opposition to the gospel. Because the gospel says there is one way. One way. And that immediately throws down the gauntlet. Because if that's the right way, that means every other way is wrong. Amen. You can't have, well, we got to have open-mindedness. And I mean, that bumper sticker coexist. Every time I see it, it's just like, oh my gosh. You talk about ignorance. I just look at it and go, you're going to find out what that means someday. It's just ignorance. Coexist. Yes, not be rude, but tell the truth, because you're going to find out the truth sooner or later, and you don't want it to be when you've left this earth. Our gospel is offensive to people. It is. It's a stumbling block. The Bible clearly says it, and if we're going to try to say, well, yeah, we just all have to respect everything and really understand where you're coming from, because you may be right. That's actually in direct opposition to Scripture. Jesus said, do not mess with these other religions. They're wrong. Don't touch them. It does not say, well, figure out how they think. It actually says the opposite. Don't ask how they worship. Maybe I want to look in. It says the direct opposite. It's deception. Because where, again, the open-minded thing, where is it going to open to what? It means closed to what you believe.
That's right.
If the mentality is going to be open to all this stuff, all of us, what we believe, if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is closed to what you believe. Open to everything else is closed to the gospel. That they're not open to, that it's not open to, there is one way. Open-minded, except there, no, we're closed to that. Mm-hmm. Well, have you ever thought that could be the way? No, we're not going to go there because we got to respect all. That's the same as you don't believe Jesus, and that's the same as you're lost. You're lost. It sounds good. Well, we'll just, you know, listen to everybody. Everybody has a different viewpoint. I'm not saying be rude. But giving it the same dignity and saying, well, yeah, let me look into that. Because, you know, you may have a point. If you know the truth, don't be deceived and get off it. Because Satan, that's exactly what he does. People know the truth, and they probably don't know it like they ought to. But then they get around certain people, and they start having certain conversations, and they take certain classes, and they start entertaining thoughts that get them off. And just what I just said, people would say, yeah, and that's closed-minded if you don't do that. Closed-minded to what? Closed-minded to deception? Yes. We have to know what we believe. You have to, and we have to understand there is a force in the world trying to deceive men and make it complex. It's really very simple. What we just read in Deuteronomy and what Jesus quoted, you love the Lord your God. That's it. You follow him. You believe what he said. Well, what about religion? It gets complicated. Well, you got to consider, what about the people that have never heard? And those are ignorant questions. We could go into it again. We've talked about it before. It sounds intelligent, but it's ignorant. It's ignorant of the word. Because if we read Romans, if people would acknowledge what they do see of God, they would get more light. Or God is not just. People are not acknowledging. It is not they're guiltless. It's not that way. And people have centuries ago, they've turned away from God, and yes, their children and their children's children do not have the opportunity to live in the light of the gospel. But if they will lift their eyes up and say, there is more than this, there is a God. God, what this is, missionaries are, if they're being led by God, are going where God is leading them, and they will go and come into contact with people that are open to the gospel. God will make sure whatever he needs to do will make sure they hear it. But they have to be open to what they know today. And it tries as well, see, how does that line up? People have to, God is a big God. And he has said, if you will acknowledge what you do know of me, you will get more. But when you close off, so we talked about that some. There is this push to let your guard down just to be nice. But make no mistake, the spirits behind that are not nice. It's stealing, killing, and destroying, and it's wicked. Because the openness is very closed to Christianity. And actually is offended very much with Christianity and tries to shut it down. And they'll deny this. I've read stuff. Well, there's no, you know, we're not trying to. I mean, it's just mock it. It's foolishness that thinks that, you know, there is an attack on Christianity. Like, what's, you don't even know who you're being motivated by. And even to talk like that, it's like, who are you listening to? It's an ignorance of the spiritual realm. It's acting like everything's are the ideas of men. Yeah, if we're all just sitting here and evolved out of nothing, and all the religions just came up out of people's ideas, so one people group gets some idea, and another people group gets some idea, but they're all wrong because there's no God anyway, and that's the reality. That's what people think. So they think, well, of course, you're wrong, and you're wrong. You're just wrong in different ways, so you should listen to each other. But that's not the reality. There is a truth, there is a God, there is a creator, and so there is one way, and these other things are actually false. So just saying everything is equal shows you don't believe there's a real, because we're talking about life and death stakes here. Amen. For you to say it doesn't matter is saying there is no real way. And it betrays what you really believe. You don't believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It's life or death. But to say it doesn't matter, everybody, you know, everybody believes something, but there's different ways to God, shows you it's not paramount to you. You don't really believe there's anything out there, or you don't want to think about it. Because if we really think about it, there's nothing more important. Let's go on. Romans 16, 19. Go ahead and turn there. Romans 16, 19. You guys are believing with me, right? We're going to get the right stuff out.
Yes.
And we believe we're just going to go with the Spirit of God here. But Romans 16, 19, exactly what we're saying. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple. Very word we're talking about. Simple concerning evil. Margin of my Bible says, innocent. Innocent concerning evil. Simple concern. I like simple. Means evil? I don't know anything about it. I'm just simple. You know, you should be naive in some things. I mean, you may know, but if you're walking the way we ought to, you don't have to act like you know everything about stuff. People bring up, well, don't you know about that? You're just backwards. No, I choose not to look into that. Yeah, there's a lot of junk. Yeah, we know. It's amazing. This is funny. As an aside, kids, they think they're discovering stuff. Teenagers, they think they have new stuff. I remember a teacher of mine. She was an English teacher, and she was just spunky. It was funny. And she was like, you kids... And I think that was when I was a senior, too. It's just like, you guys, you think you're coming up with new stuff, you know, you're messing around with your siblings. You don't have anything new. It's the same stuff over and over. You think you're so smart. Oh, no, we got some new stuff. And she was just like, no, you don't. You're basically saying, you're stupid. The human race has been going on for all this time. Kids, it may be new to you, but it's not new. Well, you don't know what we know. Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. We're wise and we're worldly. You know, you don't need to know about a lot of stupid stuff that people get into. You need to just, I don't need to know about that. We need to just shun it. Well, people think I'm backwards. Who cares? I'm not saying to not be able to relate to people, but if it takes getting into stuff, certain things, to relate to somebody, we need to drop it. We're supposed to be simple concerning evil. I touched on this last time. I'm going to hammer just a little bit right now. There's a lot of this pushing that... somehow, if you're not exposing your kids to certain things, you're somehow sheltering them. Well, they need to know that there's a world out there, but they don't need to be immersed in certain things and exposed to stuff. They need to know what they need to know, and there's a difference between cutting people off and not giving them a true vision of what the world is, and then not immersing yourself in godless stuff. There's a difference. You can know there's junk out there. Stay away from it. Then you don't need to go and read it and expose it and watch movies about it. I mean, they show certain things so that they can know the way people live. You can know the way people live. Just read the Bible 2,000 years ago. Same thing. Have you read the Old Testament in certain places? Messed up stuff. It's not new just because you watch. Well, we need to know this. This is so we can. Why? Why do we need to look at it? The Bible says be simple. Don't look at it. We're not supposed to look at stuff. We're not supposed to get into it. We're supposed to stay away from it. But again, this mentality, and they push it younger and younger. The junk. Well, they need to be educated. Really. Sorry, you dangle certain things in front of hormone-charged kids, and you wonder why we're having problems. Let's just show them all the ways, and then let's tell them the ways, if you're going to do drugs, the ways that are going to mess you up the least. And let's legalize stuff, because if it's legalized, we can regulate it. That is stupidity. That's ignorance. Come on. Give me a break. And then we act like it's so complicated. It's not that complicated. Cut the junk out. Amen. And don't do things before you're married. It's that simple. Well, we can't expect. Yes, we can. It's the answer. Come on. It's not that hard. Well, it's really hard. No, it's not hard. It's not hard. Well, we just, you know, we got to understand. I mean, we got these drug things are so, I mean, whenever you see it, complicated. This is a complicated problem. So we're going to, but you're showing kids all this junk early and we wonder why we have problems with it. Would we have as many problems if they just didn't see it? We can't. That's backwards. Oh, yeah. It's not backwards. It would save their lives. But we're in this world that tries to overcomplicate stuff, and spiritually tries to overcomplicate stuff. Well, you know, it's a complicated thing. Let's read this. I don't even know if we need to read it in the other translation. No, let's go on. Let's look at Matthew. Praise God. Matthew 15. Verse 1. We see an example of this overcomplication here. It'll make it hard. And, you know, we focused on this in the context. I mean, we've said a lot about you stay away from things that are of other religions, other ways of believing, and all that. But you need to watch it in your, and we did mention this some, but in your belief system within what would be called Christian. It's very dangerous too. If you know something, if you know what the Word of God says, and you've come to believe, you've seen it from Scripture, we don't need to entertain views that are going to undermine that belief because you want to know, you want to be open-minded again. You cannot have strong faith and entertain any and all viewpoints. If you're going to believe for healing, you don't need to read a bunch of people that believe that that's passed away. That will undermine your faith. Amen. Because all the deception that got into those people's heads, now they're passing it to you, and you have to deal with it. You have to cast it down. You know, if you believe that God wants you blessed, you don't need to read a bunch of listen to a bunch of people that think, no, God wants you poor. Because guess what? Now you have to deal with all the thoughts that convinced them to believe that. Now you're going to deal with them, and now you have to reconcile. You may think, oh, I'm strong. I can believe it. I can argue. I know. Well, that's maybe what they thought. Satan is subtle. It's pride to think, well, I know. Don't expose yourself to it. People that are tempted to do certain things. Well, I'm strong enough, I can withstand. That's foolish. If you had a problem with anything at a certain time, you need to stay away from it. I don't care how whipped you think you have it. unless there's some specific reason that you need and God is leading you in a certain way, and you better make sure it's Him, and then you better trust Him that He'll sustain you and keep you. People that have gotten to physical stuff, they think, well, you know, they'll just put themselves in a situation, but they'll be able to withstand. That's foolish. That's not proving how spiritual you are. That's setting yourself up to go through a battle for what reason? If, you know, even the natural world understands this with certain, they call things triggers. If there's things that you associate with going down, don't go there. Don't do it. That's just wisdom. But we get this pride. Well, if you came out, let me just tell you, if you came out of certain belief systems and you had to look at the word and you got out of certain ways of thinking, don't dive back into those and try to get in detail so you can really understand it. That will bring you back and you're going to be tempted to go back into that way of thinking. You might see ways of viewpoints that push on you, and now you could spend 3 weeks, look, that just pounds on you, trying to answer, well, you know, Satan is just persistent and say, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? You think you have the answer now, but what about this? What about this with the way they believe? And just can hound you. And that whole time, instead of you being strong in faith, you're distracted. Tell you what, there were certain things it took me a while to get out of. Ideas that I heard, you know, different places growing up, coming out, just even at a distance from a certain denomination. But when I would read certain verses in the Bible, it would try to nag me. What about that? They believe that. It doesn't bother me now. At all. But don't go and dive into things that you've grown out of. Don't entertain things. If you've come to faith in a certain area and you believe, if you see what the Word says, don't entangle yourselves with the ideas of men, because it can ensnare you, get you bound again. Now you see an example, right? This you'll see this right here, where people twist what the Word of God says, and Jesus is very plain in how he goes about this. Look at Matthew 15, verse 1. It says, Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Now notice what they're saying. They're coming to Jesus and they're saying, you know, why are your disciples doing the wrong thing? According to who? According to their tradition. According to what they believe, you're wrong. Now they don't know fully who they're talking to. They're talking to God Almighty. Amen. And they're saying, you've missed it, pal. According to what we believe and our way of doing stuff, you're wrong. Why is that? And I'm sure it was pretty haughty. Because if it's anything like these guys, I mean, it says they're proud. They think they know everything. They were two-faced. They were hypocrites. I don't think it was nice the way they're saying it. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. So they're not washing their hands a certain way, you know. They have these religious ways of doing it, and they got to do it a certain way. So they're not doing that. And then he's like, so why don't you do that? Why don't you do this thing? So he says in verse 3, he answered and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? See, they're saying the tradition of the elders. Look at verse 1. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? And Jesus came back at him and said, why do you transgress the commandment of God? You're Mickey Mousing about something somebody decided to say. and you have the commandment from Almighty God, and you moved it because of your tradition, he said. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? We got to watch about traditions. Anything that we're doing that's tradition ought to be based on the Word of God. Now, I'm saying there's family traditions and things, but I'm saying what we do, that is what is termed religion. When it is man-made, and it's not based on God and His Word, and we start doing stuff because we like it, because it's the way we've always done it. There's nothing wrong with tradition, doing things a certain way, but we got to be careful. Tradition isn't superseding what the Lord said, because that's what matters. Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, notice that, God said this, but you said, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. So he's saying, you know, you have this gift, and well, instead of giving it to you, I'm going to give it to the church, and so then I don't need to do it. It says, that if you, the Bible says, if you don't take care of the people that are in your family, I mean, you're worse than an unbeliever. But he, you know, they're saying they made this up. Do you realize? I mean, I don't remember the exact specific numbers, but you know, the Bible's the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are certain commands, but then you have all the stuff that the religious people expounded on that. And so, like one verse where it was talking about getting the leaven, at, or the was it yeast or leaven out of the house. During Passover, they made that. It was like, I can't even remember how many pages, like 200 pages or something that describes how you're supposed to do that. And you got to get down on your knees, you got to use this brush, and that's not the point. The point is, just don't get it out, and God is not concerned with this micro little speck of it. It's not the point. It's one thing that was simple, made overly complicated, like this is the way you got to do it. And if you don't do this, you're wrong. Said who? The Bible didn't say that. Bible just said, get this stuff out. And then you think, really, Jesus, God, he doesn't have an attitude of, well, you did this over here. See, now you're wrong. That's not the heart of God. He's not legalistic. Good night. If he's legalistic, we're all in a heap of big trouble. Huh? Heap big trouble. The joke. But it's true. We all don't need God to look at, well, you didn't do this exact. No, it's the heart. What God is looking, the Bible said God looks on the heart. But man will take it and expound it and say, no, this is the way it really is. You got to be careful with that. Don't look into that junk. No, it's supposed to be simple. What did God say? Okay, that's what we're going to do. Honor your mother and your father. Okay. Well, no. If you're supposed to, you know, take care of them, but then you give the church, well, then it doesn't. What is this? Smoke and mirrors, just complicated. Well, I know you're supposed to love your wife, but if she's not doing such and such, then wouldn't you think? I mean, she has to, and he has to. He's not doing this, then why would I? Complicated. What's your part? Just get back to it. Well, I'm supposed to be doing that. Okay, I'll shut up and just do that. It's not that hard. But wait, see, this type of stuff, intellect likes to, well, see, it's nuanced. See, that plays to pride. Well, see, you're simple. You think that it's just like this, but see, I'm more learned than, and I've read about this, so it's really more complicated than you think. I know some of the background. I know what the people were really thinking here. So when he's talking about, you know, getting this out of the house, it's really much more, in 200 pages, you know, more complicated than one sentence. It's actually much more. Well, what is that? That plays to pride. Get you off. Well, you know, it's not as simple as you just believe Jesus for your salvation. I mean, you know, there's good works involved. You gotta earn some stuff that, you know, certain denominations are gonna push that. Oh, yeah. And you know where certain things come back? And I know this. Certain areas, it's scripture and tradition. They will push. Not just scripture. It's and tradition. That means we change something, this is the way you do it. Well, that gives you an out to just put in all kinds of religion. It's not simple. You can't just believe God for that. You also, well, that's subtle and it's deceptive, and that's the way the enemy works. Let's get through this. He said, verse 5, so verse 4 says, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by what? Your tradition." Hypocrites. "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." There is a lot that is around that is nothing more than repackaged psychology and the commandments and the doctrines of men, and then they sprinkle a few verses in there to make it sound biblical. But if you look at what the verses say, the verses are not going to the end they describe. They are just going backwards. Here's what we believe, and we're going to try to wedge some scriptures in there to make it sound good. But if you look at the scriptures, you could not get that meaning from the scriptures. Amen. They are doctrines of men. You got to be careful of this. Because what does it say here? "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips." It looks like it's good, but what? Their heart's far from me. What are we talking about? Guarding your heart. How would people get this way? How did people get this way? They started entertaining thoughts that were not what God said. Because these people that we're dealing with right now, I don't think we're going to get to it down here, but their forefathers said, "We're going to follow God. We'll follow His commandments." But down, you go forward several centuries, these people are far from God. They've inserted their own ideas for what God said. How did that happen? They started entertaining things that were not lined up on God's word. God said, bump, 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 bump. And then somebody said, "Yeah, but what about..." And then they started their train of thought, and pretty soon you have this whole other area over here that's teaching a bunch of junk that God never said. And we wonder why there are all the denominations there are today in all the religions. It's not a mystery. People just start making... And you know what? People say, "Well, I don't really believe that." What? Don't believe the Bible? So I didn't experience that. So they start talking about something that's not in the Word, and then they start teaching it as a doctrine. It's not based on the Word. It might appeal to emotion, might appeal to certain intellect, but it's not the Bible, which means it's hollow. Which means if you try to put your weight on it in a fight, you're going to get crushed. Yeah, because so-and-so preaches. That's not the same as God said. That's not the same as the Bible said. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 8, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain." What does that mean? Worthless. Means nothing. Amen. "They worship me." Is there worship that's just totally in vain? Sure there is. There's lots of that. No, there's a lot of stuff that might look cool, might sound good, but it's completely in vain. It's not God. It's not the Bible. Do you know there's a lot of pop Christianity that's not the Bible? How do you know the difference? You look at the Word. We have a standard. But we have to be on guard. We have to guard our hearts against, you'd think you wouldn't have to do that. I mean, and let's just talk about one thing. There is so much, like, let's talk about Christian movies. There are so many of them now. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But somewhere, I mean, several years ago, I mean, it became a thing that you're going to make Christian movies. And, I mean, there always has been. And I'm not against them. Thank God for certain things. I mean, that you can watch and not have to, like, censor every other thing. But here's the danger, and you cannot let your guard down here. And this is my point. Just because it's quote-unquote Christian does not mean it lines up with the Bible. And I'll tell you this, just from my sampling, majority of the movies that you would see that come from a Christian, quote, slant, they're coming from a certain slant that God is sovereign, He controls everything, and that basically, I mean, if somebody dies, it's His will. If there's a sickness, it's His will. You can't control everything. Somebody's going through something, but they just need to trust God, but it's God's will, and I'm just going to submit to what you have. And the heart's right. I mean, these people are doing the best as far as, I'm not saying they're insincere, but it's not the Word. And the thing is, we were just talking about this with my family, and we've talked about it before. When you see certain things that are completely ungodly, you got your wall up. Yeah. Certain movies you wouldn't touch because you know it's not godly. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And if anything would pop up, the trailer or anything, you have your guard up. But there's a lot of stuff, and it's talked about being as ministry tools and whatever. And yeah, the idea is to try to reach people for God, but you have to know that you're partaking of doctrines that aren't necessarily based on the Bible. But people don't know that, and so they see Christian, and the guard comes down, and they bring it in. And if they're not, especially kids or people maybe younger in God, they'll take it in and they don't realize that's not biblical. But they have their guard down. And so they're thinking, wow, and they're watching some, you know, young girl deal with cancer, and she's saying, look, if this is God's will to take me, and the people are crying, and they're like, oh, I would love to have you, but if God's will's, then Satan will just be there, and that could happen to you. He'll whisper in your ear. I mean, she's a Christian. How'd that get into her? Look at the family. I mean, they're sad, but it's the will of God. Not guarding. Guard is down. And looks like it, but you know what? Those things are not godly. They're not based on the Bible as far as they're not biblical. And that can be more harmful than something that you know is wrong and you put your hand up and say no. We have to guard our heart. What is our standard? The Word. And if we know what the Bible says in certain areas, we have... I would just said this to my kids yesterday. We were having this conversation. It just happens to be related. There are G movies that I would not watch. And there are certain R movies that I would watch. Number one, Passion of the Christ is rated R. The rating, there are PG movies. We in the past, there are certain things, you look at the trailer and I'm not sure, but okay, get into it, and it is pushing, like, you know, this slanted religion, and it's coming at it from a mystical point, and we just shut it down. But if you look at it, you'd be like, well, that's a PG movie. That's a G movie. Oh my gosh. There are stuff I could mention right now, you probably think I was nuts, but that are rated G that I would not watch. It's got wicked stuff behind it. And then there are things that are, yeah, it's, you shouldn't be watching it if you're five, but it's not going to harm your faith. Who rated them? Who rated them? What's their system? Who said it's okay to watch? Was it spiritually discerned? Well, this is okay to watch. Really? That's okay to watch? No. We got to know, as children of God, the words are standard, not the doctrines of men, not what people try to push, not this commonality that everything's okay, but that, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. No, we got to stand up and say the Word of God is our standard, and guard each of us individually. Watch what comes in, because it can affect where we're going to go. You come up to a situation. Mark, there. I'll tell you this right now. I watched a movie. Not movie. It was a television show. It was a series. And if I told you the name of it, everybody would know what it was. And there was an episode of that where somebody was dealing with something physical. And I was in third grade or second, I had a thought, that'll happen to you. And I had to deal with that for years. We got to know what we're dealing with. It would be considered wholesome. Anything that'll put fear into your children, you have to watch. Yeah. Anything that'll put fear into you, I'd rather have flat out violence than something that will subtly put fear into you about you dying or that God not being there. That is deadly. Because you come into a situation where you're in a, you know, there's pressure, and you know, if family is dealing with certain thing, you know the thoughts that are going to come back to you. What, and video, what you saw somebody go through, and they were Christian, and they didn't make it through. And that was Christian. I mean, and that's how Satan works. But we're not ignorant of his devices. We just need to be on guard. No. Praise God.